The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Good morning, you're welcome. So listen, take us through what's going to happen today, at what time and so on.
So today is a pretty big day, one of those hectic days in Leinster House. Usually when they'd gather on a Tuesday afternoon, you know, after lunchtime at 2 o'clock would be leaders' questions. But what they're doing today is they're sort of clearing the decks. The government will put down a counter motion. So it'll basically be a confidence motion in the government rather than a no confidence motion in the government. I'd say before the debate gets underway, there'll probably be a bit of a row, given that leaders' questions is being cancelled. So there'll be a procedural row that'll kind of delay things, the usual carry on in the Dáil. And then once they get down to it, it'll be a confidence motion in the government. So you'd expect the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, to speak first, and then Sinn Féin and the opposition to respond.
The big question is, what will the independents who support the government do? Do we have a sense of that yet?
I think the sense is, like, there's confidence definitely amongst the government parties. They're not fearing any deflections. There are 9 independents supporting the government. Now, a number of those hold some form of, you know, office, junior ministers. The ones really that would cause most concern would be the Healy Rays. Danny and Michael Healy-Rae. Now, while Michael Healy-Rae is a junior minister and no one would expect him to vote against the government, all eyes will be on his brother, Danny Healy-Rae, and what he will do, because he was quite critical yesterday and he said that Fianna Fáil TDs should themselves seek to replace Micheál Martin as their leader. If he were to vote against the government, you know, then the question arises as to whether the Healy-Rae pact as of itself is broken, and therefore Michael would lose his junior ministerial position. But I don't think anyone is anticipating really that Michael or Danny Healy-Rae will vote against the government, even though they're leaving open the prospect. They're not declaring. They're usually, you know, super duper at answering their phone straight away, but they haven't really been talking to the journalists over the past 24 hours. So I think they're definitely keeping the suspense there. And, you know, it is a possibility that one of them might deflect, but I don't think the fear is real as of yet.
Okay. And this debate today, will it focus on the reasons why the protests happened or the government handling of the protests, or will it be a good mix of both?
It's going to be a mix, and it's going to be very interesting to hear the opposition speaking and where all the various components of opposition stand. And I think the approach of government will be to sort of deflect the focus back onto the opposition for how they approached all of these. Now, it's no doubt been, like, you know, the worst week for the government. It's been a political crisis for the government that they have to sort of regain the narrative from. They have to show that there's some leadership, because there was a real lack of leadership in the country last week. So that is the task of the government parties. And then for the opposition, there's very mixed views and mixed perspectives and mixed ideologies on the opposition benches, even though they all support the protesters. So, you know, for example, you know, how close will Sinn Féin be to the other parties on the left who they joined for the campaign for President Catherine Connolly? Because what we saw is just a few short months back, Marilyn MacDonald taking to podium, you know, holding hands up in the air with Holly Kearns, Ivana Bacik, Paul Murphy, Roderick Gorman of the Greens. And then in the past week, we've seen Sinn Féin, you know, on a podium with Independent Ireland and Aontú. So, you know, what tensions will be there between the sort of unofficial left alliance of the opposition? That is an alliance that Sinn Féin has known for some time that it needs to rely on, you know, if it's going to ever be elected to government. But at the same time, Sinn Féin took a different approach to those parties of the left in terms of these protests. And the parties like Labour and Social Democrats, they kept their sort of, you know, they sort of kept below the radar, I would have said, over the past week, you know, in terms of their responses to the protests. They weren't, you know, joining in the podium. They weren't joining in the protests. They were calling on the government to provide more clarity. They were calling on the government to provide more supports for people, but they weren't necessarily, you know,
directly involved, on the picket line,
I'd say. Yeah. And they definitely were not, many, you know, the parties of the left and the opposition were not supporting the blockades of the ports.
Mary Regan's going to stay with us now. Stick on your headphones there, Mary, because I want to bring in two more guests on this. I'm joined by Michael MacDool, who's a senator and former Taoiseach Minister for Justice, and AIMTU TD Paul Lawless. Now, Michael MacDool, I know you were critical of some elements of the protest, but if the focus of this debate is going to be on the government's handling of them, do you think that the government deserves some criticism on that front too?
Yes, I do. But I start from reiterating my position that the planned closure of the oil depots and the blockades of roads and the like was illegal. And insofar as it was organised, it was a very serious criminal offence to do so. The Gardaí should have been aware that this was a possibility and should have acted more promptly to stop it from happening. That's my first point. The second thing is, you asked the question, Claire, should the government have acted differently? It's been obvious for 3 or 4 weeks that there was a crisis in the Gulf, and in particular that there was a serious risk of massive increase in oil prices, no matter what particular mad option that was chosen by the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel. And there should have been a contingency plan to deal with it. And it does strike me, you know, that what was put forward at the beginning was too little, too late. The government has a duty, and has a very clear duty, to cushion the Irish economy from excessive increases in energy prices. And we had the ESRI report today, which you're going to be dealing with later on your programme, mm-hmm. which says that Ireland has one of the highest energy cost arrangements in the EU, and would have the highest if it weren't for government cushioning measures. Okay. So, you know, what emerged eventually, Claire, was what was necessary. And it doesn't satisfy everybody, obviously, but it was what was necessary to mitigate the worst possible effects on the Irish economy. And it's the government's duty mm-hmm. to protect the Irish people from these kind of shocks and to anticipate them. I mean, you wouldn't need to be a politician or have a huge state apparatus behind you to understand that there was a huge danger of a massive increase in energy prices arising out of what Donald Trump and Netanyahu were doing.
It was inevitable that it was coming. Another matter I wanted to ask you about is, and much has been made of the Justice Minister's invoking of the Defence Forces last Thursday morning. Now it seems, according to reports in the Irish Independent, that the Defence Minister didn't know or wasn't aware that that Jim O'Callaghan was going to do that. That does sound chaotic, at least, doesn't it?
Well, I don't accept that that the defence minister should have seen any different scenario. I mean, if it came to towing heavy vehicles away from oil depots and from O'Connell Street and the like, the fact is that the only physical machinery in the hands of the state was in the defence forces. So I'd be very surprised if she didn't volunteer the services of the defence forces to assist the Gardaí in upholding the basic law of the land. So the basic rights of every citizen to go about their daily lives wouldn't be impinged in the manner it was, which was criminal.
But surely before he issued that public statement on Thursday morning, he should have had a full conversation with Helen McEntee, with the defence minister, that he was going to announce that it was within his right and that he could see it coming, essentially, that the army would be called in to help the Gardaí.
Sorry, this isn't a matter of tiffs between government ministers. It was plainly obvious, as the eyes in your head, that to remove these vehicles would require heavy vehicles, and that the only people in the apparatus of the state who had that equipment were the army. And there's nothing unlawful about the use of army equipment to do that. Mm-hmm. Nothing whatsoever.
Okay, and you don't see that there was an issue with lack of consultation between ministers?
I would imagine that the Minister for Defence, if she wasn't too busy with the Foreign Affairs Department, which she also has, would have been volunteering the assistance of the Defence Forces mm-hmm. to ensure that the basic law of the country was being upheld.
Okay, AIMTU TD Paul Lawless is with us as well. I see you're calling on the government to cut the VAT on fuel, and we know Poland and Spain have done that, but already they've had a slapdown from the EU Commission. It's against the rules to do that. Poland are going to pull it back at the end of the month. Spain are going to pull it back at the end of June. So, I mean, if you do it, you've risks on all sides, don't you, Paul? You've a risk of getting into big trouble on the state aid rules. But also, if you pull that back at the end of 4 weeks, where do you leave people then?
Well, first of all, Claire, just in relation to the protests, I stood over several days with many of the protests that are happening, and these were good, these were ordinary, these are hardworking individuals who are really fighting for their livelihoods. They're small businesses, they're builders, they're contractors, and the hardship that they have endured over the past number of weeks has been really immense. Many builders have really just outlined to me that they cannot keep their trucks on the road. Contractors who are preparing and should be preparing to cut silage, to spread fertilizer, to plant grain, etc., and really produce food over the next number of weeks, are telling me that they simply cannot afford to do so because the cost of diesel has doubled, yeah, particularly on the green diesel,
yeah,
side.
I know, and we've had these conversations.
The government has driven these people to the brink in terms of their actions, and like this crisis was brewing for several months, and the measures that were announced in March were simply unacceptable for so many sectors across the country.
And now, with what was announced on Sunday?
What was announced on Sunday is welcome. It is a first step in my view. The truth is that, you know, if you look at the green diesel, a 2.4 cents reduction it is very small when the prices of green diesel has doubled. Now, there is a rebate scheme that has been announced. We don't quite know the full detail of that scheme yet. Mm-hmm. Is obviously very welcome. It's something we called for over some time, that rebate scheme, and that should be extended to the agricultural
sector.
Are
you still calling for the VAT rate on fuel to be reduced?
I do believe it needs to be looked at. It is calculated as a percentage. It would make an immediate reduction.
But you can't bring it below 15% without the EU Commission coming after you for breaking the rules. It's just not permitted.
Well, we have an excessively high level of taxation on fuel. And if you look at what's happening across the Gulf states at the moment, all of the experts are predicting this crisis to remain and potentially even get worse. And we cannot continue to heap further taxes on what is a staple good that is spiraling out of control. In relation to the state aid rules, VAT rate at the moment is 23%. That could be reduced. Excuse me. That could be reduced further. In relation to the carbon tax, and we have long since been opposed to the carbon tax. We opposed it from its very inception, one of the few parties to do so. And we did so because really we saw what was going to happen down the line. And Claire, let's be honest, like the carbon tax was introduced to try to change people's behaviour. Well, the cost of fuel is already at such a high point that nobody is making unnecessary journeys, that everyone is. But the fact is that diesel, particularly in the agri sector and the construction sector, is a staple. It is necessary. And, you know, we cannot continue with this high level of taxation at a time of such a fuel crisis, mm-hmm, and an escalating of prices.
Okay, Michael McDougall, listening to Paul there and listening to the concerns that he has outlined that have clearly been brought to him, you say that he was involved in illegal protests over the last week. But can you understand, given the depth of feeling, why people would expect an elected representative to do such things?
No, I don't accept that anybody should break the law. And I mean, I would make this point to you, Claire. If a group of vegans decided to park lorries outside meat plants across Ireland to prevent cattle being slaughtered and processed, the IFA would have a very different view about it. If a group of people of eco-warriors descended on Rosslare and all the ports and blockaded trucks on the basis that they were spilling out pollutants, in those circumstances, I'd expect the truckers to have a very different point of view. The simple fact is that the law should have been upheld from the very beginning, and it should have been made very, very clear that a small group of people, some of whose remarks I see in the Irish Times today in Fintan O'Toole's column,
show what kind of people you're involved in, should organise themselves as a committee to bring the country to its knees. And I mean, there's no excuse for that, nor is there any excuse for people screaming obscenities at Gardaí who were there to uphold the law and the right of ordinary people to travel to and from work and to have oil and diesel and petrol for their cars. These are fundamental rights. And I have to say, I mean, Paul, it makes one good point there, and that is that the whole purpose of the carbon tax was to change behaviour. Mm-hmm. If fuel prices are going to shoot up, you have that change of behaviour no matter what way, no matter who's taking the money, whether it's
you make a good point, but you're almost suggesting, on the other hand, that he should have been arrested last week.
No, I'm not suggesting that he should, because he wasn't actually, as far as I know, blockading, preventing anybody else from using a road. I don't think he was.
Were you, Paul?
And I mean, if he wants to confess to that on your knees, he's certainly welcome to do
that. Paul, my understanding is that you were involved in the fines protest, isn't that right?
In the fines protest, Claire?
Yeah.
No.
Where were you?
That was not the case. I met with all of the protesters in Galway and some in Mayo.
You were at the protest.
I want to be very clear. The government have done their level best to blacken the protesters and the ordinary hardworking men and women. I am not going to do that, Claire. I met with those protesters. These are ordinary men and women who felt that they had no choice but to raise their voices. And let's remember, in March, this government reduced green diesel, for example,
but you can't, Paul, you might feel really strongly about something.
Green diesel was rising 80 cents.
You might really be suffering, but you can't. I can't go out and shut down the country and not expect there to be repercussions for it. You just can't do that.
Well, the repercussions of what has happened, Claire, has been the government package that was announced. Because last week on Wednesday, I listened to a Fine Gael minister on the media in Mayo, who outlined that it was his intention and the government's intention to continue with what he said was the modest and necessary increase of the carbon tax. That was what was on the agenda last week. And it was as a result of people power that really brought the government really listening to the people in relation to this. And the truth is, and
if the carers decide to shut down the M50, will you support them?
No, nobody wants to see roads blocked. Nobody wants to see.
Because that's what every group in the country should do now if it works. Shut the place down.
Claire, what the government needs to realise here is that it was the government's refusal, it was the government's stubbornness in relation to this that actually led to such a swell of demonstration and indeed public support as well. We have not seen this level of protest since the water crisis, really. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen pumps run dry since the 1980s. And I spoke with several protesters who outlined from the outset that they wanted to see their government listen to them, number one. They wanted to speak with their government, and they wanted the government to realise and wake up to the plight of small businesses that are reliant on diesel. And that was not the case previous and indeed during the protests,
Paul,
that were happening.
I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much. And Michael McDool as well. Mary Regan listening to all of that. And it's just interesting to hear, particularly on the green diesel front, that we mightn't be there yet in terms of what people want and expect who use green diesel. So farmers, agricultural contractors, mm-hmm. and so on. Do you expect that might be an issue for the government?
It sounds like it could potentially. Now, the package that announced was such, a significant package that they're going to have to continue to hold the line. They can't go back revisiting it every now and then. However, if it becomes a point of sort of unviability of food producers doing their actual work, that was raised in the Dáil previous to the protests and the government didn't listen at that point, then that's something they're going to have to keep a strong eye on. I think the general sense is, though, that this notion that the government was sort of blackening the name of the protesters, it came up in the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting yesterday, where a number of Fianna Fáil TDs who had actually gone out and met many of the protesters And they were saying to the party leadership, to the Taoiseach and the ministers, that they were too focused on the sort of hardline element of the protesters, the people who
were making outrageous claims,
you know, questioning the legitimacy of the state. And that's who the government saw as the protesters, whereas they might have overlooked and not listened to, you know, what's been described as the ordinary, decent, hardworking farmer. So in that sense, I think the government now, when it stands up in the Dáil to, you know, argue confidence in itself today, will have to show a degree of empathy, will have to show a degree that they're actually listening, because while they can throw money at various problems that people are raising, there is a sense now that they have to show that they get people's concerns, that they get that people are hurting.
Mary Regan, thank you very much. Mary Regan is political editor with the Irish Independent.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.